and Max don't know how to play Spin the Bottle. The boys don't want to play D&D, and the Russians simply don't play. Here on Stranger Things, Season 3, Episode 3. Let's go.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Stranger Things fanatics? You are in the right place right now because, yes, we are just as obsessed with Stranger Things Season 3 as you are. I'm Roxy Stryer, but I am not here alone. Next to me is somebody who knows all things sci-fi. Yes, that is right. We're ready for that monster roar. It's Angelica Trey.
Roar.
Okay.
No claws.
I took the claws out.
I know.
But then the roar wasn't there.
And then also you told me off air that actually last episode you were going to try to speak a little Russian. Maybe I should have thrown you that one this time.
Да. Здравствуйте.
What's that?
Меня зовут Анжелика Трей.
Does that mean my name is Angelica Trey?
I believe so.
One more time?
I might be saying something completely random.
Здравствуйте.
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 That's hello. Меня зовут Анжелика Трей.
Меня зовут. All right.
Как дела?
Hey, Roxy, remember when you told us you were Russian?
Yeah. I'm not doing my ancestors very proud. That girl giving me crap over there, I'm going to introduce her anyway. She did the OG. She did the OG. I'm like doing my hip thing. She did the OG after show for
it.
Stranger Things. Yes, that's right. Their very own. It's Tiana Hobson.
Hello, everyone. Very excited to be here. I'm in the live chat. If you're watching us live on YouTube right now, hop on over. Leave a comment. Tell me what you're thinking about this episode.
That's right, chat mistress.
Yeah.
You care more about them than you do about us, don't you?
I always do.
Mm-hmm. And he's the boy that was not born in the 80s, but loves them anyway. He knows all things 80s. That's why he brings us our special segment. It's Ryan Nielsen.
Young Gun. But I'm excited to talk Stranger Things, you guys. Let's go.
Did you just refer to yourself as a young gun?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
That happens.
That's totally fine.
He's his own hype man, okay?
The hype man.
We all need one.
Yeah, we do all need one, especially on this show, because we got a lot to talk about. Yes, we have tons of relationship stuff to go over. And like I mentioned at the top, everybody's playing games. Some people don't want to, but we're all making things up with Spin the Bottle and D&D and shipping things to Russian people and doing all of that. But we also have an amazing segment. Ryan's going to talk to us about That So 80s, all the 80s references in here, and news and gossip from Angelica because she's got all that tea. I like this one for this week. I can't wait to get to that. But before we do, overall thoughts on episode 3. Now we're in this thing. We're not just starting off season 3. We are 3 episodes deep. We're doing it. Angelica, how'd you feel?
Holy moly. This episode is the creepiest one yet.
Oh.
I was definitely spooked out. I had chills. Yeah, it was the creepiest one. Like, there were suspenseful moments. I felt like I was watching a horror movie. We saw some of the group just start falling apart. We are seeing that happening so far, and it just keeps developing, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm so nervous.
You're really into the cracks and the falling apart. You focus there.
What did I say? Chasms, schisms, all the things.
All the things. All the things.
The cracks.
How'd you feel?
I loved it. I'm very excited that things are happening, and storylines are moving forward, and we're only on episode 3, so that just means there's going to be so much more story to come.
Things are happening.
Things are happening.
Tiana's thoughts happening. On the episode. Things are happening. Ryan, you think things are happening?
Strange things are happening. There's a lot of confrontation this episode, especially with Hopper and Joyce and a few other characters. This episode I'll sum it up with confrontation.
Okay, well, one of the biggest confrontations that I want to get right into is Elle and Max confronting the Billy situation. So we start by the girls just having a little fun, right? They're talking about how they just dumped their men. They're doing their girl thing. Yeah.
Sorry. When did Max and Lucas break up?
I guess.
Did I miss that?
I guess what happens when one of your girlfriends breaks up, then the other one just does.
You all gotta break up.
Yeah, because your boyfriends were best friends and you guys are best friends now. It's like equal parts.
Unclear.
It's in solidarity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've been doing it wrong this whole time, but now I know.
Now I
have
know.
To break up.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something because
right.
I was shocked at that news.
No, yeah. No. I think that they have alluded to the fact that they're always breaking
right.
up.
Yeah.
So this is just another one of those times. I don't think this is a permanent situation.
Okay. Temporary.
But the girls are kind of trying to, you know, they're gossiping. I wonder what their faces look like right now. Oh, right. Let's play Spin the Bottle because we all know that. that's how that works, right?
Yeah.
Well, as they're doing this, did anybody else think that one of them was going to go try to kiss the person that they spun the bottle to?
Before I saw the names, I thought that. But when I saw Billy was on there, I'm interested to see how they came up with the names for that spin the bottle wheel. But really cool sequence. We really got to see her powers through that game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super clever plot device that they put here. And I'm glad that we got to see this. We have seen Elle using her powers for small things recently. In a previous episode, we saw a girl at the mall that she didn't like, and she made her soda explode. And she's also made her door close so that Hopper couldn't see what was going on with her and her ex-boo at this point. But it's interesting to watch that she's willing to do these things now. Do we think that she is abusing her powers by checking in on what the boys are doing?
Yes.
I mean...
yes, but I'm here for it. Exactly. Because I wish I had that power to know what the guy that, you know, is doing after we fought.
Would you use it?
Yes. Probably. I know it's a huge invasion of privacy, but when I'm in the moment of like, hey, you haven't responded to my text message, like, what's going on? I would love to just be able to beam myself over there and be like, oh, so you are awake? You saw my message? Why aren't you responding? I'm a crazy chick sometimes.
I mean, that is literally psycho.
I'm like Taylor Swift cray.
That's cray cray. Angelica, you also said yes.
Yes, yeah. I mean, so far we saw telekinesis with her, and then we saw a little glimpse into this, but it's definitely taking a huge role, or, you know, just playing a big part in this episode. I would definitely do that, too. I would be, you know, sometimes your curiosity takes over. I don't know if it's abusing your powers, but it's definitely breaching privacy.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan, yeah. I mean, be honest. No, whatever honestly, you're just going to say, stop,
you can
pause.
You can be a crazy girl, too. Yeah. Come on. Uh-huh. You know you got a little cray-cray in you.
I'd use it. Yes! But I feel like you have to at least once. And I mean, if she didn't use it to see what Mike was up to, she would not have stumbled upon all this stuff with Billy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of a blessing in disguise that she did it.
I guess it is, but is it really? Because they could have found that out different ways, what was going on with Billy, and now they don't actually even know, and they think things are fine, which might be worse than never having known in the first place.
Ooh.
Because they do check in with Billy, and it's unclear what's happened, because that's the way it works in Elle's mind when she goes to this place, which, what do we call this place that she's in?
Warehouse. Oh, you mean the black room?
Yeah.
He just said the black room, so.
I was going to call it purgatory. Room. Okay, the black room, fine, we're in the black space.
I'd call it the in-between.
Okay, so when she is in this in-between place, it's not exactly what's happening. She can hear conversation. She kind of sees things, but it's unclear. It's kind of like when somebody who sees the future tells you what it is, you assume you know, but it can always be taken a million different ways, as we saw in Game of Thrones and a million other shows. In this situation, do you think that because it is so unclear, Elle is in the wrong for going to find him because it could be interpreted in a million other ways? Or if you were Elle, do you think that you would also go look for Billy?
Based off of her previous experience with this stuff, I think that she has to trust her gut. And her gut is telling her that something's wrong. And I think this is the problem that I have with Max a little bit, having not been around for season one. Max is the first one to be like, are you sure? No, it's probably okay. Where if the boys were with her, they would 100% have Elle's back. And even if they went there and saw that everything looked okay, they would still believe that her instinct was right and that something is off. And I feel like Max just hasn't experienced enough of that with her to know to just trust her on this.
Okay. But if I was Max, I wouldn't either. My friend's telling me, no, we've got to go find him. I'd be like, yo, my brother is crazy. I do not want to piss him off right now. Like, you want me to go to his girlfriend's house, soaking wet, and barge in the middle of dinner? That's what you think is a good idea? So I was totally team Max in this one because
really?
Now, as an audience member, obviously I see that she's right. I'm definitely with Elle. But if I'm Max, are you kidding? You're telling me to go? I'm going to be in such big trouble.
But I think this is one of the things that, like, Max is new to the group. I just think that the rest of the group, having been through everything with her, are going to follow her no matter what. Because even season one, when Mike first meets Elle, That was a crazy story, but he somehow just was like, I trust this girl and we're going to go on this roller coaster. And I don't feel like Max is ride or die.
Hmm. It's confusing to me at this point. I'm wondering if you guys are clear on it. Who is able to sense who in this black room? Because Elle obviously can see all the other people, but they don't know she's there, although she has had moments where Mike has been able to sense her presence, and I believe Will as well. But now none of them sense that she's there in that room, but Billy seemingly senses that she's there, and then he kind of disappears. And there's that whole moment. Are you guys clear on the rules of this space?
I think it just comes down to, you know, Mike was like super preoccupied with his friends, but I think if you're open to it and you have some sense of, you know, especially Billy right now has something in him that's a little extra sensory, I think that's going to play a part in this.
Okay. Ryan?
I think it's extrasensory, exactly. Will, Billy, they could probably sense when Elle is checking in on them through that in-between space, just because they have that connection with the Upside Down. Hmm. So I think you have to have that extra connection. And it was sort of a Game of Thrones moment, maybe like when Bran sees the Night King. he could see her. So... Yeah, it's there. She can be checked out on. And that's what kind of shook her up there.
Let's get to the meat of what happens here, because we pop in on dinner. Everything is Stepford Wives and weird. And we're doing the everything is fine, dear. It's too perfect. Too strange. We know something is up. And the second our people leave, we get to the real juice of it all. I think that A, Tom is a jerk. And B, I feel awful for Janet, but I don't hate either of them enough for them to have their own child knock them out and try right. to possess them. I mean, that's what's happening here, right?
Yeah.
They're going to sacrifice their vessels to the...
They're slowly building a human army on the ground without people realizing it, because they're able to look like they're going on with the day-to-day stuff. But maybe now having Tom... under the influence will help Nancy and Jonathan, because right. that's their boss, sort of, hey, bring your detective work over here with this other stuff. Because weird stuff is happening, and we have six different groups of people investigating separately instead of doing it together.
Yeah, because, yo, Tom, maybe you should have listened.
Yeah. Or communicate.
These guys have been through so much the last two seasons together, and they're still just holding out information from each other instead of immediately calling the Scooby Gang together and be like, yo, guys, this is what just happened to me. And then someone, oh, that's weird, because this is happening over here.
What were the logistics of this? So Billy and Heather poison Janet, but not Tom?
Wine. I don't think he was drinking wine.
But... couldn't they put it in his food or anything else?
Well, the food they were all eating.
I just feel like if you're gonna, I mean,
was it
I,
not
my
the cookies?
Expert...
Sorry to bug in, but was that? I thought it was in the cookies that they had put it.
It was in her wine, and then they knocked him out with the Kleenex, and they hit him in the head with a bottle.
Bree, are you saying that because she offered the girls cookies, so you were assuming those were poisoned?
I thought the mom ate one of the cookies and said like, "Oh, this is good."
Oh, and so but the wine wasn't actually poisoned. It was just the dad that kept harping on the wine situation, but it really had nothing to do with the wine.
I think that was it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bree, our producer in the booth. We appreciate you chiming in on this one. You guys let us know, because slightly unclear, but either way, it doesn't quite matter, because the parents be on the floor no matter what.
we're just seeing this, the recruitment, you know, we're seeing this army basically grow right now, and it's definitely got some Invasion of the Body Snatchers vibes going on.
Oh yeah, for sure. Do we think that there's any chance that we will get Billy or Heather or Tom or Janet or all of the above back to their original state at some point?
Maybe Billy, because I don't think we saw him get devoured like Heather allegedly did.
In the flashbacks, though, we saw him with like the tentacle on his face.
He's got a face hugger.
That was similar to how Will had a face hugger, though.
Yeah.
Where I feel like these people are getting just straight on sacrifice.
But maybe she got face hugged.
Why do we have doppelgangers all of a sudden, though?
That is a new development.
That's new. So are any of these people being replaced with their doppelganger, or are they all just getting embodied by the Force?
I thought they were getting embodied for sure. That's why I was thinking Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where it just kind of latches on and it just kind of plants a little seed in them of some sort, and now they have a part of that Upside Down or whatever evil entity within them.
Ryan?
I think it's partly that. I also think it's part of that whole building. When last episode, the other Billy said, "If you build it, we'll help out." So I think maybe that's something like that. I think that's referring to the rats coming together and forming that being.
Build whatever you see or something like that.
Building whatever you see.
Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think
building the army.
What is the correlation between them and the rats?
I think the rats are...
Science.
Mm-hmm. I think the rats are more of a... I think that's another thing entirely. I think that's forming this bigger monster at will, whereas the people, the other beings, I think that's sort of like a zombie army. They're not dead, but that's definitely what they're going for here. It's slowly growing another army similar to a zombie apocalypse.
Because let's break down all the bads for a second that we have of this season, because I do think it gets slightly confusing. So we've got the rats. And that's a situation in themselves. We've got the Russians.
Russians.
Which, it's so sad that I'm putting just a whole group of, I mean, these specific Russians and whatever that is. Then we've got the mayor, seemingly a bad. Mm-hmm. Then we've got the newspaper people, Tom, and his group of men who keep making jokes at Nancy. Not great people either.
Chauvinistic.
What'd you say?
Chauvinistic.
Oh, chauvinistic. I thought you said chili stick.
I heard stick.
I was like, he is a chili stick, I suppose.
I'm going to start using that as an insult. I don't
really know. Sorts, yeah. And then we still have whatever...
The other people.
What are you... the doppelgangers? The doppelgangers. And then we still have whatever it is that the rats are turning into.
I think we're calling that.
Exactly.
The thing. Two on the nose.
So I love that they're kind of like pulling us in all these directions, like, ooh, you think you know, but you don't. And I'm wondering if these are all correlated or if just sometimes people are bad and then there's also a really big bad thing going on. Because I feel like the rats at least have to be involved in another, the Russians, the rats, all of that seems to be one somehow related. And even the mayor, all clumped together.
All clumped together.
You know what's not in that clump? D&D.
D&D
stands alone. Angelica, you're a D&D girl, so your heart must be breaking right now.
I was so sad for Will. I was like, Will the Wise? Yeah, just play one campaign, you guys. Just get through this session. that was a heartbreaking moment for me, and I definitely was crying. My inner child was crying with Will, essentially.
You know who didn't feel bad for him?
Ew. You?
I guess.
Why?
Wow. Okay. Heartless Roxy.
Oh, it's just, you know, I think I took this one too personally because here's the thing, guys. We grow and change what we like to do. And, like, they did say to him, no, we'll finish it whatever you want. But clearly, they're not into D&D right now. They're into other things. And so what if they were like, why don't we go shoot some hoops? Or why don't we go ice skating? Or why don't we, like, go to the ice cream shop? There's more things you can do with your friends than just the thing that you've always been doing. And sometimes everybody grows. And you either grow together or you grow apart. So I feel like this was demonizing our boys when really they're not doing anything wrong. They just have different interests right now.
But I
feel bad for Will because I feel like I was a late bloomer coming up. Like when all my friends started going boy crazy, I was still like, nah, I'm going to go play basketball and be cool. I'm like one of the boys. So I understand where he's coming from. But I think that he made a good point when he was arguing with Mike. Like, where's Dustin? Why haven't you cared? You haven't seen him in 2 days. He just got back from being gone for a month, and all you're worried about is this. And I understand that you grow apart and that interests lie other places, but it's like, still put the effort in to try and see your friends.
Did you hear what you just said, though? Where's Dustin? You haven't seen him in 2 days. Like, that's crazy.
But he's been gone for a month, and he got back. You bailed early. You didn't stay and hang out with your friend who had just got home from summer camp. You hadn't seen him for a whole month.
But Will, do you know where Dustin is?
At least he's like asking, and he did invite Dustin to come play Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't know. Dustin just
didn't show up.
I think it's twofold. I think both they're growing. They're moving on to bigger, maybe better things. But at the same time, you have a friend who has been through the worst, and one of your best friends just got back from summer camp, and you're not all going to spend time with them. You're just going to ditch them, hang out with someone you've been dating for 6 months. I think it's both of them. I think, you know, one, you can't be so sensitive. You got to understand some people just don't want to play D&D. And on the other hand, I think he just wants things to go back to the way they were. You can't accept that all this bad stuff is happening to him. That's Will.
Yeah. Lucas and Mike right now obviously can really relate to each other, though, because they both just got dumped. They seem to be into the same things right now and not into the things that they used to be doing. So I wonder if that will lead to a Will, Dustin, Lucas, Mike kind of, you know, when your group of friends starts splitting off into the best friend pairs, mm-hmm. and right. you're still a group, but you got your best homie. That's what I kind of see happening here.
And if you look back on the first season, it was Mike and Will. Mm-hmm. And so you now see Will is being replaced by Lucas. And so why he's so heartbroken. And then, you know, the comment that Mike makes about him not being into girls, which is just... I mean, they're talking about it in the chat. Like, what does that mean?
It's a great question. You know, we've also heard Joyce say this about her son as well. You know, when you are into girls later on, you'll know the feeling. And I don't know if this show is saying he just hasn't gotten there yet, or if they're saying he's actually never going to be into girls because maybe he's into men. And I don't know even if the show knows what it's saying yet, or if they'll discover that this season, as I hope the show has legs for many of years. But it is interesting because we all noticed an incredibly long pause after that. Regardless of what we think the show is trying to say, what is it that you think that Mike was trying to say in that moment? Do you think he's trying to say, I know that you are not into women yet? Or do you think he's trying to say, I know you'll never be into women?
I think he's trying to address the elephant in the room, and that he was in the Upside Down. He's totally been scarred by these experiences, and they're just on different stages of their life right now. Whether he's... I don't necessarily think quite yet we can guarantee he'll never be into women, although that's definitely a possibility, which I wasn't really considering before, but I could totally buy it. I think the other thing is he had to go wreck his childhood like treehouse in the woods there. I think getting rid of those memories, yeah, it looked like it was pretty unhealthy, but by the end of the episode, he's back with those friends again.
Angelica, what do you think?
I took it more as like a late bloomer type of statement. Like, you're just not into what we're into, and you're not there yet, which I think caused that silence, was maybe you're on different levels and we're maturing. And I think that would hurt Will's feelings.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. The one thing I'm a little nervous about and hope that the Duffer brothers are thinking about is that you don't necessarily want to pick the one kid that has a demon inside him to be the one character who is gay on your show. So I'm sure that's come up in writers' rooms, if this is the direction they're going, that he physically has a monster inside him, and then to pick that to be your gay character, that seems... a little tricky, yeah. For lack of better words. So that I'm curious how they would handle. T, what are the thoughts in the chat?
Yeah, I've got a couple people in here. They're talking about it a lot. Jenna James says, I've been asking myself what exactly it means ever since I watched it. I mean, how realistic is it that Mike, a boy living in 1985, makes the assumption that his friend is gay? Because you have to think of the time, you know, that is a good point. KO says, not sure if it was a hint about Will, but I think it was just Will not wanting things to change with the core group, which we've discussed as well. And Billie Jean Girl 24 says, Will, I think doesn't want to grow up. Also, he was trapped in the underground all of season 1 and 2, and he was possessed. He's been through a lot. So,
right. For anybody who wants to talk to Tiana live during this show, we are on AfterBuzz TV's YouTube page. We tweet it out because we've got a weird live streaming schedule for this one because it all dropped at once. Thank you, Netflix, for giving us that gift. But also, I know that they can find us other places, T, and talk to us all around.
Yeah, you guys can find us on iTunes as well. Please go phone there and get rate us 5 stars and leave your comments in there and review. If you guys are on YouTube right now, make sure you hit that thumbs up button.
Yeah,
and subscribe so that you get the notification when we start going live in case you miss our tweet with our schedule about it. And like, thank you guys so much for all the support you've given us here at AfterBuzz TV. And make sure you keep it up. Tell a friend.
Oh, I love tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Remind someone. Tell them that we're here and that we're talking about it and that you guys love it and they should listen and watch too.
If you want to be a Will-level friend who is a great friend, then you'll tell your friend about our after show. Okay.
You tell your friend to get with my friend.
We can be friends. Ooh. Hey. I love that. Going back to our boy Will, he has his amazing castle, but now not any longer because he's in there and he's crying in his fort and throwing a little tantrum, which is fine. And then he decides to destroy it to smithereens. I remember doing stuff like this as a kid, and then like 5 minutes later, so regretting it. Where you would, you know, like I would draw something, and then I'd get in a fight with somebody, and then I'd take whatever I drew and I'd rip it up, and then 5 minutes later, you'd be like, "Well, now I who did I just hurt? Now I don't have my."
Sounds like you needed some therapy.
No, Angelica felt me.
I did. I really felt that, and I was just sitting there watching it, like, "Oh no!" Like we've all had these moments, and I think that's why that hit me so hard. I was like, "Oh, like he's just feeling really terrible," and it's that awkward, you know, hormonal stage, and everyone's dealing with it in their own way. And,
it's raining.
It's dramatic, and he just wants to play D&D. Okay?
Yeah, I felt for him here, but also don't destroy your hut.
It was clearly a metaphor for his youth and everyone's youth here. Yeah, I think that's the
destroyed
elephant
my youth.
In this when room.
We were watching and Angelica was screaming, "It's a metaphor! It's a metaphor!"
Just like that.
Yeah, it kind of did sound like that.
Is
that
not
what it sounded like to you?
Like that, yeah.
She just kept saying
that's
it.
Me. Yeah, don't take me to the movies, okay, guys?
I was like, yelling. No, is it really? But we do get a little bit of our group back together at the end of the destruction of this castle, because he comes out, we got the spidey sense going on, or whatever we're calling that, and the boys have found him. Are you okay? He's back. Dun, 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 dun.
Wow.
Now, it's about time
that
you trust your friends, because friends don't lie. Ryan, you're the only one who didn't join in on that.
Oh, wow.
What happened?
I don't trust him.
I like had a really long pause.
I feel like he's been lying to us.
I didn't have to say.
You know, Ryan.
On it.
You know, Ryan. Yeah. We dump your ass.
Yeah, we do. We dump your ass. And in case you guys don't see Ryan here at AfterBuzz TV for season 3, episode 4, you know what happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't finish our sentences.
He lied.
Oh yeah, that too. So, do you guys think? Do you trust in Will that he is now going to let them in on everything?
Yes.
Oh, that was not confident.
I think they're going to blindly trust him at this point. They hear he's back or it's back, and they're ready to go. They're like, "Let's handle this. We trust Will."
I think this is going to be the jump off point to get the boys and girls back together.
Yeah, it's the devastation and the upside down that brings them all together.
Yeah.
That's the reason that they became as good of friends that we've seen them. And I think that's what's going to bring them back this time.
So the only people that Will told were Mike and Lucas. Dustin is not there. Do you think that Dustin is so far out of this group of friends at this point that they're not going to tell him?
I don't think they're going to tell him, but at some point their paths are going to come together because, as I stated earlier, everyone is working on this case. They're all just at a different lead right now.
Right.
So at some point, all the points of the star are going to come together and meet up. And
great segue into other people working on this case or a different case. Nancy and my not-so-boy, Jonathan. Not that he's not a boy, he's just not so much mine. I cannot watch this person with Nancy anymore.
You can't stand him. She cannot stand him.
I don't know what it is, but I'm so frustrated.
He was frustrating me this episode, too. Especially after she gets made fun of in the boardroom. And he's like, "Nancy, you should have known going
Nancy.
In. You should have, come on. Like, you don't have her back." She used to convince him to have her back.
It's the 80s. She's already getting crap from every other guy there. They're already making it seem like she has nothing to add. She's got no value. She couldn't possibly know the case. The last thing she needs is that from her boyfriend. And he's not being the support that I need him to be here.
But
I just kicked Ryan off the panel. Do you want to say what you're about to say?
Where's the lie?
What do you mean?
I mean, he's telling her you should have known that these guys were going to laugh you out of the room because she went in there not prepared to argue her case.
Okay, that's not true.
So it's not true. I'm not saying it was right. His delivery was a little harsh, but he's not lying to her. If you're going to go into that room that you've been pushed out of repeatedly all summer, and then you're going in there with the story, that sounds crazy.
I'm not saying he's a liar. I'm saying he's not supportive.
Yeah,
it's support.
But sometimes to be supportive, you have to tell the honest truth. And the truth in this case is, hey, Nance, instead of going in there with, like, half the idea, go in there with the whole picture, make them believe. Go in there with irrefutable proof so that they cannot laugh in your face.
Okay, you're not wrong. I'm not happy about you being right.
It's the 80s, and as a woman, you have to be 3 times more prepared than those men in the room so that you're heard.
You know what, Tiana? Whatever. Fine.
Love you too, Roxine.
So,
all right. You're not dumped. You're still
here. Yeah, you're
here.
You're
still on the panel.
It's actually a stronger bond now, so thank you for that.
Whatever.
She's going to get that point across now that the dad, the newspaper owner,
he's not in the game anymore.
So she tried to warn Tom. Okay, so now who's right? She tried to warn Tom, even with her half-baked story, because she wanted to save him. And where'd he end up?
I didn't say she was. I'm just saying that she needed to go in there and really prove the approach was wrong. But, you know, the idea was right. She does need them to understand and know.
I'm back in the right. You're back in the wrong.
Nope.
Never.
No, we decided
that we were both right.
Oh. On different subjects.
Also, I should never be allowed to hold a pen when I'm doing this show.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to release that pen and it's going to hit me in the face.
For anybody who's on iTunes, just so you know, I'm waving my pen and it is helping me make the points.
I'm actually worried about my eyes. I feel like it's going to hit me.
You've been on my side this whole time.
Yes.
What's happening now? What is happening?
This isn't the Losers Club. We got to stick together.
I'm worried about shielding myself.
Let's stick together and talk about somebody that we don't want with us. Mrs. Driscoll. Mrs. Driscoll is eating that fertilizer.
What you doing, Mrs. Driscoll?
That is, like, worse than meth, I feel. Like, she is now the person in our friend group that we have to have an intervention with. Mrs. Driscoll, maybe you shouldn't eat the fertilizer.
You have a problem.
Here are my couple of questions for you guys. Now, were the rats ever eating Mrs. Driscoll's fertilizer? Or was Mrs. Driscoll always eating Mrs. Driscoll's fertilizer? Even though we know the rats are eating other places around town, is Mrs. Driscoll now whatever the rats were? And is Mrs. Driscoll going to explode? Answer them all, because I'm lost with this one.
Yes,
this is out of nowhere. Unless somehow the rats are a part of Mrs. Driscoll, and unless that's the case, this is a completely new thing.
Is this Mrs. Driscoll's doppelganger?
No. I think that she lives in a house with crazy rats downstairs, and maybe they came upstairs and bit a girl.
I'm saying the...
Maybe she was like...
Yeah,
but there was one. She said she captured one, but there's been a lot running through there. I'm just thinking that living in this house with this thing, maybe it's airborne, who knows, but she shouldn't have been there alone, and I think she's now possessed from the rats.
Is there any possibility, this is a really bad suggestion, so just let me say it, and then we'll move forward, that she sees that the rats are eating the fertilizer and wants to try it herself to see if there's any appeal to it?
No, she looked like, she was like,
maybe she's like, what's in that fertilizer?
It was very rat-like behavior, let's be honest.
So it was as bad a suggestion as I thought. Okay.
Exploded rat. Okay. It turned into a little creature, went up, face-hugged Miss Driscoll. Ooh. Mrs. Driscoll.
Sat on her face.
Thank you for that. She turned into a body snatcher, basically. And then now she's got the same hankering, and maybe she's going to explode. I don't know.
Can she use her words or no? Is she able to speak?
I think we'll find out.
She could probably squeak.
In what scenario do you go into a basement and you see a human being eating fertilizer and then you say their name again?
That is some dumb shit.
After you grab a hammer and a screwdriver and are slowly approaching.
Yeah.
Nope. I see that. I'm running back upstairs, locking the basement door and calling Hopper.
Just so much now.
And animal control, probably.
And we clearly established she said she was not senile, so there is something fishy going on here.
Yeah. Something. Or more like something dirty. You get it? Because, like, fertilizer.
Rats, I get it.
It's not fish. It's rats. I mean, it's a different species. It's a kind of animal. Just to be clear, it's a rodent.
It's a rodent.
It's not a fish. Okay. Although we don't know what's happening with the fish. We haven't checked in with them in a little while, so...
We don't know. We could...
Let's check in with Joyce and Hopper right now, because Hopper's really angry, as he has every right to be, and Joyce is de-gaff. She could not care less that she stood Hopper up. I don't even know if she realizes she stood Hopper up when she walks into the room, and then when he points it out to her, she does not apologize. She does not say anything other than, let's get to my thing. Thank you very much. Which team are you on right now? Are you on the side of Joyce? Let's get down to business. She's here on a mission, and it doesn't matter that she stood him up. That was a one-time thing. Or are you on the side of Hopper? This is a crazy woman. She completely stood me up. She's not even apologizing, and she's suffering with PTSD, so I'm just going to appease her.
It's the same scenario that we've seen her Joyce in the past two seasons, but it's the romantic element added in. So, and that seems to be the big sense of conflict for all of these relationships. Now that there's romance involved... people have problems with each other because Hopper was the only man who believed her when she was setting up all the Christmas lights. He was the only guy who believed her when she said it's happening again. And now since there's a romantic component, he's not into her.
But
so
Ryan, I thought it was not a date.
He thought it was a date.
Well, he said it wasn't until now. Afterwards, he said it was. So, Ryan, do men ever really know what they want? Because you said it was not a date, and then she stood you up, and then you pretended it was a date.
I think boys don't know what they want, but men do.
Oh.
Hey, wow. Ryan, give out your number right now. Damn. Angelica, which side were you on here? Whose team were you on?
I mean,
took a combined team and side. Which time?
This team I'm on. So, the side I see both sides here, but I love a good conspiracy theory, okay. So I'm chasing with Joyce here. I'm really enjoying it, and it's going along with her character. This entire series, she's just been constantly manic. Like, I don't think she cannot be wound up. You know what I mean? Like, she's just constantly going. I think that's what she needs, and, you know, I think she's still, you know, traumatized from all the stuff from last season with Bob, and need something to take her mind off of it.
Yeah, we got a little bit of Bob in this episode. Oh, did your heart break a little when you saw him?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean...
Ryan did not do well with it.
They showed a lot. They showed the whole thing again.
Ryan was crying.
She relived it.
She has to relive it, so do we.
Yes.
And that's how TV works.
That's how they got me back into realizing how fresh it is for her.
Yeah, so we do go back. Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm over it. It's been a year and a half.
It's still so fresh. But still, it doesn't give you an excuse to not apologize to someone for not showing up to a date.
I agree. You can apologize and then explain what you want to talk about.
Yes.
What I will mention really briefly here, because I used to say it every single episode, and I'm trying to say it less because you guys get it, but Winona Ryder's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, she is just so good.
Yes.
Like, I can't keep my eyes off of her. When she's on the screen, she's just... David Harbour, too, but it just there's something about the two of them together. Oh, so good. She gets him in trouble, though, because they go to the lab, and he gets the living crap kicked out of him by the same man who is a strangler.
The strangler.
And rides a motorcycle and is that guy we've been seeing.
And creeping.
And apparently his name is Grigori.
I believe so, yes.
So we think that that is Grigori. All right, you already showed off that you can speak Russian. We get it. So this guy kicks the crap out of him and then rides off. What's happening? What is this? Why is he there solo? Did he follow them there? Was he already there? Did he know that Joyce was there and left her without kicking the crap out of her because of a reason?
No, I think that he followed them there because in the previous episode, we saw him kind of following Hopper around. We saw him at the town hall when Hopper was waiting to meet with the mayor. And then we saw him when Hopper stumbled out of the restaurant, which, by the way, the law enforcement guy's drunk driving in this town, and it's just like, okay, fine, whatever.
Didn't you hear it's the 80s?
It's the 80s, so why wouldn't he just stumble out drunk and drive home? You know, and then we saw him there. So this guy has had his eye on Hopper, and we just don't know why he's singling Hopper out
right now. Why would he kick his butt and then leave and not hurt Joyce?
Or finish the job.
Or finish the job.
Because that's not who he was there for. Maybe he's there to send a message to Hopper about something.
Yeah, and he's been shown, like, in the last few episodes following Hopper. So he might not even know about Joyce.
But if he followed them there, he knows. Because they came together.
Maybe he doesn't understand English. Who she is. And so he's just like, I know this guy is onto me. He's the sheriff here.
Do we think that he is being sent to be the enforcer by the greater comrade, whatever his name was that we met the first episode, who said you have 1 year?
I think so. I think someone definitely gave him Hopper's name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who. I don't think it was that head Russian, but it might have been one of the ancillary Russians.
Yeah.
But yeah, his name has definitely been given because he's particularly following Hopper.
And if he was at the mayor's office, guys, mayor put some mall in that's being run by secretly by Russians. People are out of jobs. Corruption.
Okay.
Then Hopper goes down after he gets in a confrontation with the mayor. Mm-hmm. Come on.
We don't know the mall is run by the Russians, okay? We know during that transmission, they have a song that sounds eerily close to the horse, but maybe they just really like that bicycle song.
It is run by the Russian mob. The mayor is in on it.
Totally.
All right. And there is corruption in this town.
Let's talk about the Russians.
Conspiracies.
The Russians and conspiracies, because they are up to no good right now. We finally cracked this code, and by we, I mean single-handedly Robin. It was just Robin. Robin.
Steve,
Stephen, Dustin, use your little binoculars as much as you want, but Robin's going to do the real job. Ryan. I don't know. So Robin is the one who figures out, you got to look at the shoe place and the Chinese restaurant, and then you got to look at the clock, and you figure out when the blue and the yellow, they meet in the west, a.k.a. the handles of the clock, and now I know that it's about a delivery to these locations and this place, and Silver Fox, Silver Cat.
Silver Cat.
Yeah, because the delivery company, the whole thing. She puts it all together. As she's putting it all together, even explaining it to us, I'm still slow. I'm like, all right, if you say so, you got to be at that place at that. All right. So just one of those things again. Science alert. Which is fine. So the three of them go to check out what's going on. And I'm still unclear on what is going on. We got packages. They're thinking that there's guns and stuff. I'm thinking that there's not.
No, you saw the guy with the gun, like, guarding the door.
No, I know. I know. What are you talking about?
They thought the
in the packages, the they the say, packages. Yeah, they say, like, what
like,
do you
no,
think?
We saw the gun.
No, they say, what do you think's in there? And they say, I don't know, guns, knives, or whatever
explosives,
it is, explosives.
Bombs.
And so I don't think that's what's in there. I think
pieces to the machine?
Maybe that. Maybe fertilizer?
I was just about to say fertilizer. But guess what fertilizer can be used for? Explosives.
Tell me
did
more.
Did you just know that? Or did you, like, Google
I'm pretty sure it can be used for it.
Really?
Do you like that she dropped, Bree's looking for us right now. She dropped that fact and then said, to her own fact.
Okay, you gotta be your own hype man, okay? Yeah. I'm just following in Ryan's footsteps.
I feel you totally.
Thank you.
This was.
It says ammonium nitrate is the fertilizer compound that can be used in explosives.
Wow.
Yikes.
Why do I know that?
How do you know that?
I don't know.
You've done it.
Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of TV, okay?
She speaks Russian.
TV.
She knows about the explosives.
Ooh. Russian spy.
Niet.
She's into conspiracy theories.
Sleeper agent.
I'm
one of them.
Pretty sure I'm on to you.
Oh, man.
So, but she confirmed that this was the location for the Russians. Right. I guess at the end of last episode, hearing the song, it was a maybe. Now it's confirmed.
Now we know this is where they're at.
Right.
This is what they're doing. Steve and Dustin making too much noise, though. Ryan. Again, they're just too loud with the binoculars. Can't
too
get their
loud
stuff
with their
together.
Binoculars. They're looking too loud.
That's what happened. They fought over them, and they hit their head on the metal or whatever it was. I like this little trio. How are you guys feeling about this season? We're seeing Steve, Dustin, and Robin kind of break off and do their thing.
I like it, and Dustin even hinted at Steve being into Robin.
I don't remember or recall that. I don't hear that. I don't see what you're talking about.
I mean, I think we've all seen it since episode 1.
Don't know what
Robin is clearly in love with
Steve. And Nancy are still endgame. I do not know what you're referring to. There was no conversation about that. Nobody on any panel that I'm on will ever mention that ever again. Tiana, what happened with your eyes just now?
Sorry. So Drew M in the chat said, so the Russian plan opened the doorway to the other side and let the Demogorgon out as a weapon that would kill everybody. Okay, good plan. And when he said that, and we're talking about the mall, and we still don't know where they've set up their lab, labs underneath the mall, and that's where they're trying to open up the portal from.
Totally.
And then that leads to you, how you think that this is all going to culminate at the mall with a huge fight. So
let's go to the mall. Amazing.
Today. So that's why my eyes were big, because I just thought of that.
Can I tell you something? I don't believe that you just thought of that.
I did.
What I mean is, I'm pretty sure Ryan literally said that.
Yeah.
When? Was I talking in the chat?
literally, like, 2 episodes ago.
And the machine under the mall. It's a giant AC transformer.
5 minutes
the
before
magnet.
This, we mentioned the
taking battery, the power out.
Hey, guys. When I'm talking in the chat, I'm not listening to what you guys are saying. So that was
That is made abundantly clear by the fact that we have many times mentioned that this is underneath the mall.
The Russians
are
under the mall.
Like, I was just adding a little resistance earlier.
Everybody stop. You heard it here first from Tiana Hobson. The Russians are under the mall. Okay, now we can move forward. Yes, thank
You're
you very
welcome.
Much, Brie.
I will be here for
nobody else
five more episodes.
And also, I really pray that Brie was on your guys' faces, because Ryan wanted to be nice about it and not say that he said that 15 times. So while you said it, he just looked. This is what he did.
I was just looking at it like...
Smile and nod at the crazy
That's
lady
right.
who, you know, would steal your phone when you went to the bathroom and also would telepath into your mind if she could. Smile and nod.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so happy that I could inform you guys about what's happening with the Russians at the mall.
Yep. All right.
And you're welcome.
And on that note, I think we are done covering this episode, so we got to get into some more... Tiana, you want to steal Ryan's segment here, too?
Or? Yeah, totally.
All right, let's go to That's So 80s with Ryan Nilsson.
Featuring Tiana Hobson,
of course. She actually, I heard, sent you all of this. She
yes.
caught all of these and sent them.
Yeah,
actually,
I typed
them into his computer for him.
That's
all
right.
Her, I did nothing. Anyway, you guys, The Dead
so
Zone,
good.
The Dead Zone mm-hmm. is a movie that came Ooh. Out in the early 80s. It's a David Cronenberg movie, and it was all over this episode. Everywhere.
Did you see Ryan just wave his finger?
Because
it was all over.
All over it. It's like they wiped it on. So, obviously, a few references before we get to The Dead Zone. Karate Kid to open.
Ralph Macchio.
Then immediately she puts on a blindfold. Mm-hmm. Clear Karate Kid reference where he puts the blindfold on at the end and kicks. And...
But we got no waxing.
No waxing quite
on
yet.
On or off.
No waxing on or off. But we did get a blindfold that was on and then taken off a few times. The Dead Zone movie. So, this is another Stephen King book turned into a movie. Duffer Brothers love Stephen King. And The Dead Zone follows a psychic played by Christopher Walken. And you have a great impression, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Do
and,
you? No, stop everything.
I call it an anti-impression. You don't want to hear it. It's really bad.
Okay.
Well,
I
do this horrible thing where I like to build people.
I'll count you in.
Yeah, expectations of my impressions up, and then I do a really bad impression. So then I go, I'm Christopher Walken here, and then they just look at me like I'm
also
just dead
a
to
scene
them.
In Dead Zone where
that was it.
Oh, that
my
was
God.
It.
Oh, wow.
There's also a scene in Dead Zone where a sheriff character and this guy, I forget the character's name, but it was Nicholas Campbell's character. They find a dead body. In a bathtub, which they find that bathtub at Billy's room. Find
with
the
ice?
The ice baby. The ice
yeah.
baby.
Ding, ding,
exactly.
Ding, ding.
So a clear reference to that as well. And then the last reference, of course, we find out that the missing lifeguard, her name was Heather, Winona Ryder was in Heather's.
Heather's.
I like that you threw the pen down, like, and then I
like
and
mic
then,
drop.
And I still didn't know where you were
it
going.
It was a pen. Hey, kind of mic drop.
Hey guys, so I noticed something in this episode that's like a callback to the 80s. Did you guys realize that the lifeguard team was Heather?
Oh my
and
god!
And Winona Ryder was in the movie Heather's.
No way.
Mind blown.
You're thanks for so sharing that. You're quick welcome. And smart.
I am. I'm witty.
Very, very witty.
She's great.
Also, I'm scared to do this. I'm scared to give her the floor again after that incredible impression, but we do have some news and gossip for you guys.
I really wish I could do an impression right now for you that could make up for it. I have a good Kermit, but that's so for maybe another time.
Your homework is to learn impressions and how to roar for the open.
Yeah, I also do feel like it's for this time, so now like, can you give us the first line in your Kermit?
Hello, Miss Piggy. How's that?
That was better.
Hello,
that was good.
But was it what? But could, is that the only thing you could say?
Okay.
How about a news reporter impression?
So after a short but sassy cameo in season 2, Lucas's little sister Erica captured fans' hearts so much that the Duffer brothers actually added more scenes with actress Priya Ferguson in season 3.
That was so much better.
Thank you.
Like, I'm floored.
I'm still in it. I could do an Elmo, too.
We'll save that for next time.
Right.
We've already, I mean, I want to quit while we're ahead.
Okay.
This is actually amazing news, though, because I know that T and I last year always talked about how freaking cute this girl was,
yes.
And just we want more, so we are part of those fans. Were you guys part of that fandom, too, that just wanted more of her?
Right, yeah. No small parts.
She was adorable, just like, even from that one scene where she just yelled at them, nerds, it was like, yes.
Also, probably the most relatable character in the whole thing, as many times I've walked into Yogurt Land and gotten 15 samples and then left, so I feel you.
I'm gonna need her to keep showing up for them samples, and her posse gets bigger every time she comes in there.
Because she's the coolest girl.
Because she's the coolest girl, and it's like she collects these friends and like, yo, we go in and we're gonna stand with our arms crossed.
Yeah, loving her. She's recruiting along with our friend from the Upside Down.
Wow, Brie, I'm just hearing from you that she was on Tom Girl.
Yeah, she was on our Tom Girl show this past week. If you want to check out the interview with her, you just got to go to Tom Girl interview and then write her name out.
With JJ?
With JJ Juergens,
yeah. JJ Juergens, our very own at AfterBuzz TV. That
wow.
is so cool.
There you go, awesome. Guys. Check out the Priya Ferguson, yeah.
Where
interview.
Was our invite?
Right.
Yep. TFTI.
Rude.
Very rude.
Very rude. Amazing news from you, Kermit. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's the that gets me.
No,
well, not my best.
You gotta open up this part of your throat. It's like a re-Romano part. You know what I'm saying?
I'll work on that for next
all
time.
Right. I'll give you lessons afterwards.
We're having all the same thoughts at this table right now, which means that we have to get out of here. Thank you guys for watching Stranger Things Season 3, Episode 3. And yes, that means we will be back for Episode 4. But in the meantime, Angelica, where can the people keep up with you?
You can find me on most platforms at Aytray, AYYTRAE, and Instagram at Angelica Trey.
And Tiana, our chat mistress.
You can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Twitter and Instagram. And thank you to everyone who was in the chat today. We had a couple new names popping up. R.I.P. Rip Flair, Langley, what's up? Missed you, man. And Hunter and Chaos.
Yeah, love that, Ryan.
You can find me at Ryan Nilsson on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm everywhere at Roxy Stryer. We're at AfterBuzz TV. We'll see you guys next time for Episode 4.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.